I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe artist Renata Aller. She has a new book called Ocean Desert, published by Radius Books, which is located right here in Santa Fe. And her exhibition at Chiaroscuro Contemporary Art here in Santa Fe is also called Ocean Desert. It opens tonight. And John Addison joins us. He is director of the Chiaroscuro Gallery. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So this is both the book and the exhibition. I mean, it's the same work. I guess the works that we see on the wall are bigger than what we see in the book, but the book is gigantic and very beautiful. And you show in the book photographs of the desert and the ocean, often side by side. Clearly, you've been photographing both of these subjects for a very long time, desert sands and oceanscapes. How did this project, how did this work, and the two of them together come about?
Yeah, it's actually a good question, because I have been photographing the ocean since 1999. That's like 15 years now, right? And the dunes I've been photographing just for a few years, so less time. The reason why I was fascinated photographing large sand dunes that are hundreds of miles away from the ocean is because the ocean and the desert carry each other's memory. I photographed both the ocean as well as the desert, not really thinking how I would gel them together. But I knew why I was doing it. And then slowly, they came together to the point that they were not just hanging on my studio wall next to each other, but that some of the images I created became diptychs. That's the plural, right? Not diptychs. And so that they actually become one. And
The horizon is continuous from one to the next in some pictures.
In some pictures, yes. The most exciting pictures, it actually isn't, which normally you would probably find odd because people always expect Germans to do everything with a structure and a sort of system that goes through the whole project.
Really?
Yeah.
I think so. I think the project developed in a very intuitive way. Certainly when Renata went out and started photographing the different landscapes, she wasn't immediately thinking how to pair them together, but as she was out photographing, intuitively the whole thing kind of developed on its own, and it becomes a discovery as she's looking at the film and seeing what imagery she got when she was out there in the landscape.
Yeah, you know, they do fit together, even though they shouldn't be together, especially, you know, the people on White Sands who are engaged in beach activities, as it seems. Next to it, you have an ocean picture. The first time I showed them was when Radius Books had an event and they commissioned me to do a one-off book. And I produced a handmade book that was... The images are the same size as the ones we have in the show. Image size, 12 by 36 inches. And it was a paper book, hand-printed and hand-sewn in a handmade box. It's now in the collection of the Lennon Foundation, and a slightly different copy of it is at a collector's, and a third version is in my studio. But I watched people during that event, which was September, no? Last year,
mm-hmm.
I think.
A year ago.
Looking at them, and most people thought that I had photographed people on the beach and then just turned around and photographed the ocean.
Right.
And I thought that was really good because they do really carry each other's memory. I mean, as we all know, the desert used to be an ocean, and the minerals are still ocean minerals.
Well, it's one of the things that is so kind of amazing to me about it is that looking at the book, looking at the work, it feels like you are a painter with a limited color palette. There's certain colors that you use over and over again, variations of them, but it's photography. So how do you do that?
Well, okay, let's start with one specific one, which is the White Sand Dunes. That actually came to me, that part of the project. It was a present. John remembers that. We left at 6 o'clock in the morning, my husband and Hugh, on drive to White Sands from here. And in the expectation for me to photograph these endless white untouched dunes. We arrived and I climbed up and, you know, it's all heavy equipment, etc. I got all sweaty and red and took some lovely pictures. Then we went round the corner and I went, swear word, and I can't believe this. All the hills are crowded with people and there's footsteps. And so I just stopped and said, well, maybe I'll just look. I won't photograph. This is maybe meant to be. And as I was looking, I realized that it was Easter Sunday, and the border families in that area traditionally, as I know now, go every Easter Sunday and celebrate there and just engage in beach activities. And it's the most beautiful, beautiful thing to watch. There's no baby crying. There's no teenage over an attitude. There's no shouting. I mean, of course, the gypsum of the sand also muffles the sound, you know, so there's this sense of silence and joy. And it's really beautiful. So I started photographing those beach activities. We were very welcomed by the people, and I didn't feel I was intruding. Now, the other day, I was talking to the librarian, Deirdre, from the International Center of Photography, and she pointed something out. She said, and this comes to this sort of thing about painterly, she said, if you do landscape photography, you never ever get that lighting. And that makes it also so surreal. Mm-hmm. And she pointed something out that hadn't really, I saw, but I couldn't really understand why it was like that. She said it's like studio lighting. That makes it so unreal
at White
ways.
Sand?
Yes.
Just and the reason the sand is so white?
Well, yeah, it's like having this like reflector.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not a landscape lighting under any time of the day. So I thought that was quite interesting, the comment she made, and she made many more interesting comments, which I wish I had written down. But I'm always happy when people contribute. So that's how that part added to this project, which initially was just sort of empty oceans and empty dunes. And
right.
I also realized that while we're being there, just you don't have to do much research to know that there's been a lot of experimenting on the white dunes. And however white and pure it appears, I don't know.
An atomic bomb was exploded there.
Yeah, I don't think we have to get into
history.
Much detail there to explain. And it's again saying how you can create an illusion. There's this like happy families, and it's really pure happiness and joy. No anger, which I still don't understand why that is. Maybe it's the holiday, or I'm still, if somebody knows that, they should let me know. Beautiful ambience, unreal lighting, and everything looks pure. And we all know that, you know, it's obviously not very healthy. So it just shows that if you show something that is white and pure, it doesn't mean it is. You know, it's
right.
It's kind of nearly too obvious, the connection there.
Also, the figure, documenting the figure in the expanse, I mean, in this incredible space, really also relates to when the viewer is standing, let's say, in a gallery in front of a photograph and looking out at the oceanscapes and this expanse. So the volume of space also is important in these photos, and I think that's what brings them beyond describing what you're looking at and pulls you into a feeling of openness and expanse and draws you into the landscape.
Yeah, John, that makes me think about, you know, my project, Whose Place Is It Anyway? You can see it on my website. It's actually a video that was commissioned for the immigration halls in Hamburg. But a lot of my concern has been for years also about who owns a space, a place, when do you belong? Because I'm an immigrant as well, you know, like where do you belong? Why do you belong? Is it because you have a passport, or is it because you invade a country, or is it because you, you know, do something good for the place, or do you, you know, because
there.
You love it, or you're just born there? So what gives you the right, which is not very clear, as we know. And I wanted to make sure also that the images I took and then subsequently editorially chose, the people on this vast landscape appear to be, what's it called, filigrane, delicate, but yet they are, really own the space. And I kind of feel, especially because I can imagine that a lot of people that I photographed on that day are immigrants or maybe haven't even got the legal right to live here. I photographed in a way that you wouldn't be recognized, really. But I think it's very important. I wanted to give them the ownership of the space and not just the day of the celebration, but really, and I think they do with their body language and maybe the way I chose to portray them.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, as I was looking at the photographs and trying to kind of feel them and get a sense of them and of you, and I was thinking about, I spent every summer of my childhood by the ocean, and they're at this beach, which I know ridiculously well. I mean, when you go to some place since the year you were born, there's a way that you know it. Yeah, it's yours. And I'm very aware that beach has been there for much longer than I have been and will be there and will be loved after I'm completely forgotten. And there's a kind of sense of vastness of not only space, but time. You know, somebody might look at your photograph and 400 years from now, if it lasts that long, and recognize somehow the ocean or the feeling of that ocean. But then you've got these people who are not wearing muted colors at all. I mean, there's a kind of sense of the muted tans and blues in the photographs of the sand and the ocean, and then they're wearing red and yellow, and they're so bright, and they're so solid. And they're so much more really ephemeral than the landscapes, but they seem so much more solid. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. It gives a person space to contemplate those things when they look at the pictures, I think.
Thank you. That's a lovely comment. I appreciate that.
Maybe we could talk about how the two of you work together. We're talking to Renata Aller, artist, and John Addison, director of the Chiaroscuro Gallery, where the exhibition Ocean Desert opens tonight. And putting up an exhibition and selecting the pictures for it and everything, I mean, that's a kind of design project in itself.
Sure, on many levels it's a collaboration. I mean,
yeah.
it starts years before the exhibition with the artist talking about their ideas and developing the body of work. One thing that I'm pretty adamant about is I only do exhibitions of work that is, you know, fully developed and matured and ready to be seen. Because obviously in an artist's career there's all sorts of stages that you go through with the work. So Renata and I started collaborating years ago, really.
I think 2010, maybe 2009.
2009, yeah.
I remember first when we met, I showed you my work, and you immediately understood the content and the different layers also. Because if you do an artwork, a project over 15 years, you know, there's just many layers in there. It's not just about one thing. I mean, of course, all my work is about, you know, it's sort of helps my investigation into the relationship between romanticism, memory, and landscape. But there's many other layers in between. I feel very comfortable with John to sit after, which is what I rarely do, after a photo shoot and actually show him what I did. You know, you have to have a great trust to do that, because, you know, it's quite raw. And I like the fact that he goes on for the ride. He doesn't push me into a certain direction ever. And because I don't like that.
I guess the key here, I was an artist before I was a gallerist. And what one of the my favorite things about doing this job is that when you can work with the artist and for the exhibition, but come out of that gallery headset, come out of that commercial headset, and go back into the creative mode with the artist and experience what they're striving for. That kind of yin and yang is really the exciting part of the whole thing for me. So I bring it to the market, yes, and once it's up, we certainly want to place as many pieces as we can and get the word out. But in the development stages and as we build exhibitions, it's more of a, it's about the art.
In this case, I mean, you know, the oceanscapes, I just realized I've done them already for many years, and then Radius asked me to create a book. So I was basically, you know, the project was, it's ongoing, but it was very ripe already, and a different process to create the book. Now, the book was actually happening pretty much simultaneous to, I mean, I was invited to do this monograph after the success of that big handmade book.
That huge, beautiful, amazing, crazy handmade
book. That's when we met.
Yeah, at the Lanham Foundation.
That's right.
I couldn't believe it when I first saw that book.
When he asked me to do a book, I think he thought of sending me empty pages and I just stick some pictures in, and I just couldn't do that. I just couldn't do that. It's also different because the book... and everything developed at the same time, and that's a different way of working, and it's very exciting. And that way also the publisher, Radius, David Chicky, and also David Skolkin have been very helpful in discussing the work with me, because, you know, as we did the sequencing, this is before I ever had an exhibition of the work, so it's a completely different way of working, but they've had also a big influence, of course, in the way we tightened the project, because of course there's many more images we could have chosen.
I wanted to ask you what kind of a camera you use. I mean, is it a very large format camera? Is it filmed? Is it digital? What are we...
I used to use film, and used to develop everything in the darkroom. I developed huge allergies to the chemicals. Yeah. Luckily, digital came along. For a while, I would still use analog because the digital development wasn't good enough yet, and I probably wasn't also... I needed to catch up as well myself how to use it, because you can't just replace analog with digital. You have to just look at it as a different tool for different projects.
Yeah.
And so I'm using a digital camera. The reason why I'm not using a medium format digital camera is luckily it saves me a lot of money. They're very expensive. But I was advised that medium format digital cameras work really well in studio environments when you can control the lights. But since I can't control the light on the ocean or, you know, in the landscape, actually the Nikon that I'm using, which I'm still trying to replace, but I kind of haven't found a replacement that is better. It deals very, very well with extreme low and highlights. And I was very happy that the person who actually sells cameras told me that. I mean, that was so honest, because he could have just sold me something really expensive. That would have been not better.
The book is called Ocean Desert, and it's published by Radius Books. our wonderful Radius Books right here in Santa Fe, and the exhibition, which opens this afternoon at Chiaroscuro Contemporary Art here in Santa Fe, is also called Ocean Desert. Chiaroscuro is at 702 and a half Canyon Road in Santa Fe. John Addison is the director there. Renata Ahler is the artist. I want to thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.